How do you come back to something that you love so much, but you've been gone from for so long? This is honestly the question I've been asking myself for weeks now. And the answer that I just keep coming to is that you just do it. You just show up one day, and there's no perfect way. There are no perfect words. You just have to show up humbly and imperfectly and renew your devotion. And that's what today's episode is all about. Renewing my devotion to this podcast and this community and showing back up after being gone for so long. And I have been gone for so long. I think it's over a year at this point. And everything happened so unexpectedly, it's hard to believe that so long has passed. And I'm going to talk about what happened, at least some of what happened in this episode today. So this isn't going to be your typical Modern Mystic's Guide to the Universe show. This is just a candid take, me and you sitting down so that I can fill you in on what's been going on and why I've been gone for so long and what I've learned from the whole experience and how it's going to be impacting the future here on the podcast and just in general over in my little corner of the world. So if you are down for that today, I invite you to grab your two, 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 grab yourself, you 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 grab yourself, 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 a comfort bevy, and cozy up with me for however long this is going to take. So I guess I'm going to just dive right in, because honestly, with a story like this, there is no perfect segue. It's truly one of those experiences in life that comes out of left field, and when you talk about it, there's really no way to ease into it. I will, though, insert a trigger warning here for those of you who might be sensitive to loss and death and grief, and in particular, pregnancy loss. This might not be the episode for you. So just want to get that out in the open and tell you my story. Based on that trigger warning, you can probably guess where this is going. I guess just to address the elephant in the room right off the bat, the long story short of it all is that I was pregnant. It was intentional. It was something that was very much wanted and planned for, and I lost my child and almost lost my own life as well. And it all happened so fast, and it was brutal, and it has been a very non-linear recovery process. There were also a lot of other variables that were, you know, coinciding, a lot of other things that happened at the same time, and it was just a lot. So I guess starting from the beginning-ish, my husband and I have always wanted children, and it was always kind of a precarious thing because I've struggled with health issues. I have a genetic condition that has been an issue for most of my life, and we weren't really sure for a long time if I was able to have kids. And so around this time last year, we started going through some pretty intensive testing and health protocols. Actually, I mean, I've been working on this kind of behind the scenes for almost 2 years now, but around a year ago is when we really got serious about it, as I was approaching my 30th birthday, because I was told by my doctors that essentially because of my health risks, if we wanted to have kids, we basically needed to do it now, because 30 is apparently the age where doctors draw the line from, you know, regular pregnancy to geriatric pregnancy, which is literally the term that they use. So we really buckled down on things a year ago. And I went through, you know, a lot of testing and saw a lot of doctors and was doing a lot of things to really get on top of my health so that I could support a pregnancy and go through the pregnancy process and the birthing process while being healthy and maintaining the health of my baby. And while all of this was going on, we had another major life change that I won't really go into, but essentially we welcomed someone else into our home for a while. It was kind of a chaotic situation, and there was just, you know, a lot going on while we were also thrust into this very sudden, you know, you gotta have a kid now if you ever want a kid kind of a thing. So already it was kind of chaotic. So fast forward a bit towards the end of the fall, we got back some test results, probably the most important test results that we had been waiting for regarding essentially my genetic condition and whether or not it was safe for me to have children and whether I would survive the pregnancy. And our genetic tests came back all clear. We were given the green light and we thought, okay, well, I guess we're trying. And we had been told from the get-go that we were probably going to have fertility issues. We actually had one doctor tell us to just start fertility treatments immediately, even though we had never tried to get pregnant before. And we did not do that because I had a different sense of what was going on. And I was very confident that we would not have an issue. And sure enough, we did not have an issue. We got pregnant on the first try and we were shocked and very excited and overwhelmed and all of the things that you can imagine being when you find out that you're pregnant for the first time. And it really is one of those things where, like, in an instant, your whole life changes. I know it sounds so cliche, but it is the most surreal experience to find out that you have a life form inside of you. And it's unlike anything I have ever experienced. You know, the joy and the fear and the sheer overwhelm of it all, knowing that your entire life is about to get flipped, turned upside down, it's wild. It's a wild experience. But I really didn't have time to integrate it. We found out that I was pregnant when I was just 3 weeks along, which is very early, but honestly, I knew from probably 2 weeks in. I could just tell by the way my body felt. I've tracked my cycle for a very long time. I haven't been on any hormonal birth control or anything like that. So I've really gotten to know my body's signals and cycles, and I could just tell by how different my body was feeling that I was pregnant. And my husband was like, no, there's no way. And sure enough, I got a big fat positive on the test that I took 3 weeks into the pregnancy. And I was very, very hormonal already. Cause if you get that big fat positive, and that's literally what they call it if you Google it, that means you have a pretty high amount of hormones going through your bloodstream. And usually that early on in the pregnancy, if you do get a positive result, it's pretty faint. You know, that pregnancy line ends up being pretty faint, but mine was so dark that it actually caused something called dye stealing, which is where it stole the dye away from the control line so that the pregnancy line itself was super dark and the control line was lighter, which I guess is just an indication of how much human growth hormone you have surging through your blood and your body at the time. So yeah. Needless to say, there was no question about it. I was very pregnant, but we did not get to integrate that because within 48 hours of finding out that I was pregnant, I ended up in the emergency room. And that was the beginning of what almost turned out to be the end for me. And it was a whole bunch of things that happened, but the ultimate problem was a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum, which some people call extreme morning sickness. It's actually a completely different thing. I mean, that's kind of how it manifests. You know, morning sickness is that nausea, sometimes vomiting, that a lot of pregnant women experience. And it's kind of a myth that it's only in the morning, but technically, you know, that's when it's most likely to happen. The science behind morning sickness, what I learned, is that it tends to be triggered when your blood sugar dips. And so that's why it tends to be worse in the morning for a lot of people, is because you wake up from an overnight fast and your blood sugar is low. And so in order to treat morning sickness, a lot of women keep, you know, crackers or something like that by their beds and eat a little bit right when they wake up, and that helps them from being too sick. So that's kind of the general gist of morning sickness. But hyperemesis gravidarum is different. It is connected to hormones in some way, but the exact mechanism and cause is not entirely clear. And essentially, hyperemesis gravidarum is extreme nausea and vomiting during pregnancy. And about 10% of women experience hyperemesis. And within that 10%, there's a spectrum of kind of manageable to unmanageable. And it can kill you. And unfortunately, I ended up being on the it can kill you end of the spectrum. And over the course of just over a couple of months, 2 months or so, we tried every medication under the sun for this. We tried, you know, IV infusions, we tried pills, we tried holistic approaches and naturopathic approaches and kind of somatic approaches. Like, I wore those C bands, like those nausea acupressure bands. I had them on for like 2 months straight, to the point that my wrists had indents in them for like 2 months after I finally took them off. And nothing worked. None of the medications worked. None of the infusions worked. And within just a couple of weeks of finding out I was pregnant, I was being kept alive on IV fluids. And I literally did not have a single sip of water for over 6 weeks because it would trigger a vomiting spell. And I can't even describe to you the torture of being so thirsty and not being able to drink. And, you know, you see water around you. It's not like I didn't have access to it, but I couldn't drink it. And I couldn't eat anything at all for almost as long as well. And so I was living in and out of the hospital and with IVs in my arm, you know, to the point that they ran out of places to put the IVs. And we were just encountering problem after problem after problem. Like, for example, they tried to put me on IV nutrition to make sure that my body got something because I was wasting away very quickly. But I had an allergic reaction to the IV nutrition, so we couldn't do that. And again, we tried all of these different medications. There are several medications for extreme nausea, many of which are used for treatment during acute situations like chemotherapy. And we tried all of those. None of them worked. And the additional problem with those is that prolonged use of them creates a specific type of heart problem. And it happens to be a heart problem that I have already had in my life. And so I am extra susceptible to this. So I was being told, you know, even if these meds were working, we can't keep you on them long term because it's going to destroy your heart. So I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, I'm constantly dehydrated, I'm wasting away, and the medications aren't working. So on top of all of that, I'm throwing up about every 20 minutes. And I'm not exaggerating. I wish I was. It was truly, truly the most horrific, traumatic, I mean, painful doesn't even begin to describe it. I sank into such a deep depression so fast because it was literally like every day I would wake up and I would just be counting down the milliseconds until my body would be so exhausted again that I could finally fall asleep again at night. But then when I would try to fall asleep again at night, I would be filled with dread because I knew that I had to wake up in the morning and do it all again. And I don't even know how to describe it. The sense of feeling trapped in your own body and everything that went along with it, all of the feelings that I had about the fact that I honestly felt like a failure. I felt like I was failing my baby because, you know, you're supposed to have a clean diet and be on the prenatals and getting good exercise and doing all these things to nurture a healthy baby. And here I am, unable to even eat or drink at all. And I'm having all these doctors telling me, you know, if this baby's born, it's going to have this problem and this problem and this problem. And I'm going to cry. It's just, it was so, so far beyond what I was capable of handling. And while all this was happening, we also experienced a family death. My grandfather passed away very suddenly. And it's the first time I've lost a grandparent. And so this, it all happened at the same time. And that made it even harder to process. I couldn't properly grieve because I was barely alive. And it just added to the weight of it all. So ultimately, what ended up happening is the local hospitals where I currently live, I'm about to move, but where I live now, they couldn't handle the severity of my case. And they told me I was going to die if I stayed there. So we had to medically evacuate me to my home state of California and get me into one of the top hospitals there. I ended up at UC Davis because I couldn't make it further south than that. They were going for UC Davis, UCSF, or Stanford, but I could not make it that far south. So we stopped at Davis and I was admitted immediately into their high-risk maternal ward. And they had their top team of doctors and researchers check me out. You know, they did full panels and ultrasounds and all the things. And they had a meeting with their team and they told me that I just was not going to survive. They told me that I had less than a month to live. I got a couple different takes from a couple different doctors. One doctor told me, you know, 2 weeks or less. One doctor told me, you know, a month or less, but I got a max of 4 weeks left to live. And they told me that even if, you know, by some miracle, one of the meds started working and I was able to be on it, my heart would give out before the end of the pregnancy and my body would waste away before the end of the pregnancy. Even if I were to be able to go through another, at that point, 7 months of that illness, something would kill me. If it wasn't the hyperemesis, it would have been the meds that affected my heart, or it would have been malnutrition or something. I wasn't going to survive and definitely would not have survived the childbirth process. And they told me that if by some miracle I did, the chances of my baby being born alive were essentially zero. And if by some miracle it was born alive, the chances of it living more than an hour were zero. And if by some miracle it did survive more than an hour, the chances of it having some serious, you know, debilitating medical condition, you know, being essentially in a vegetative state was a guarantee. And so I was left in this hospital room trying to process all of that. And ultimately, what ended up happening is that I lost my baby. And I'm alive. And I am grateful for that every day. But it's one of those things where it's still so hard to wake up in the morning sometimes. Because I know that the only reason I'm here is because my body could not support my child. And I was so, you know, early on in the pregnancy, I was only just over 2 months in. But something happens. And, you know, it's on the scientific side, it's hormonal, but even beyond the physiology of it all, something happens inside you when you carry a life. And it's a loss that's just, it never stops hurting. And I'll never stop wondering, what if? And there's, you know, still a part of me that feels like I did something wrong. So these are the things that I've been grappling with ever since that loss a few months ago. And, you know, there's been a lot of aspects to my recovery. There's been the physical piece, of course. By the time I lost the baby, I literally couldn't even sit up in bed. I couldn't walk. I had no muscle on my body whatsoever. I was just a sack of bones. And so I had to relearn how to walk. I had to relearn how to eat. My digestive system had to relearn how to function. And that's taking a lot of time. I'm still, you know, I can walk again, and I could do some gentle, you know, workout type things again, but I'm still, you know, really, really in the process of regaining my strength, and my body's in the process of figuring out how to work again. My cycle and my hormones are figuring out how to happen. And my doctors told me to expect it to take at least a year before my body is, you know, kind of normalized. But beyond that, the mental recovery, the emotional recovery, the spiritual recovery has by far been the hardest part. You know, my life, just a couple months from right now, as I'm sitting down recording this, I was supposed to be giving birth, welcoming a child into this world, and now that's not happening. And on top of that, we were told that the chances of this happening again, if we ever try to get pregnant again, are essentially 100%. And that I probably wouldn't survive it a second time. So now we're trying to readjust what our future might look like and entertain the possibility of not having kids at all. Adoption might not be an option for us because my husband and I are citizens of two different countries, and right now the laws of his home country are such that he cannot gain dual citizenship without losing his home country citizenship, which we do not want. And so that's, you know, an issue that hopefully one day will get worked out, but, you know, adoption comes with its own trials and tribulations. And, you know, people recommend surrogacy, but that has its own concerns and issues. And it's just a lot. It's a lot to adjust to when you spend your whole life thinking it's going to go one way, 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 and 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 then 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 it just collapses so catastrophically around you all at once. And I still have hope. I do. I'm a very stubborn person. I'm a very defiant person. I'm one of those people that if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to really work very hard to prove you wrong. And so I haven't given up. But I am, you know, working on making space for my life looking different than I thought it would, and trying to redefine what that means about who I understand myself to be and what I want for myself. And really connected with that is my sense of purpose. And, you know, after losing the baby, I really lost that for a really long time. And that's a big reason why it's been so hard for me to come back to the podcast and come back to coaching and everything that was so fulfilling to me before. I lost my sense of purpose and my sense of meaning, and everything felt hollow for so long. And I would be lying if I said that, you know, it's back in full swing. It's a daily process. I'm still rebuilding and creating a new understanding. But I'm getting there, and I've realized the void in my life from, you know, not being here, not talking with you, not connecting with my clients the way that I used to, not connecting with my students, not being able to show up in TCA and training my tarot coaches to go out and do good in the world. You know, not being able to do those things has really left a major void. And so I've been reconnecting with that purpose recently and, you know, reforging that in the ashes of everything that has fallen so spectacularly to pieces. And on top of all that, I felt this weight of feeling like a failure and feeling like I've let so many people down, like I've let you down. Everyone who, you know, loved this podcast and would tune in every week to listen, and my clients and my students and the people who depended on me. I feel like I've just let everyone down, and I've been gone for so long, and I've been really hard on myself about it, about not showing up. And, you know, so many days and weeks have passed by where I've thought, I should be better by now. I should be recovered by now. I should be showing up again. And I've been really, really hard on myself about it, but that's just, it's kept me from showing up. It's made it even harder for me to come back because I have not had any compassion with myself. But in the last few days, I've really externalized this. And I imagined, you know, what if one of my beloved students or clients or mentors went through what I've just gone through? What would I want for them? And the conclusion that I came to is that I'd want them to take care of themselves first and foremost, to take the time that they needed. And then from there, of course, I'd be thrilled whenever they returned. I'd be happy just to have them back. But I wouldn't feel pressure for them. I would not want to be a presence that was expecting anything from them, aside from wanting them to care for themselves. I wouldn't be sitting there tapping my watch and asking why it took so long. And when I thought about this, I thought about the type of wonderful humans that make up my community, my students and my clients and my buds like you here on Pod. And I know that that's the kind of compassion that surrounds me, because that's the kind of person that I invite into my space. And so by thinking about this, by externalizing it, and really letting myself understand how I would feel were the positions reversed, I really felt a weight lift off my shoulders, and I let myself receive that compassion. And just by making space for that, coming back didn't feel so heavy. Without that weight of feeling like a failure, it didn't feel so hard to come back imperfectly and honestly and humbly. And, you know, letting myself believe that I'll be welcomed back with love and understanding by those who are, you know, really here to connect with me and help create change in the world together. You know, those aren't the people who are going to be pissed off that I've been gone for so long. And it's helped me have the courage to show up here today to make this recording, to dip my toe back into the world that I lost for a really long time. Because I really do want to come back. And I want to do it without dragging the ball and chain of guilt and shame with me. I want to serve to my fullest. And really, I have such a deeper appreciation for the highs and the lows and the love that gets us through these times. And talk about redefining purpose. I mean, without tarot coaching, I don't know where I would be. And archetypal astrology as well has really gotten me through this. I mean, my practices have gotten me through the hardest time in my life. And the people in my life who showed up for me and helped me survive. And it's really putting a lot into perspective for me about how I want to show up and what I want everything to be about. And I'm going to go more into that in another episode, you know, talking more about how my perspective has shifted and how I want things to change in the way that I show up. Because things are going to change. They're definitely going to change. You know, a lot of this stuff that we used to talk about here on the podcast, it's just gained a whole new level of depth for me. I feel like prior to this experience, I was really engaging on an intellectual level, but it was harder for me to engage on a deep soul level with a lot of these topics. And an experience like this changes that. And it's changed that for me. My whole worldview has changed. My felt experience has changed. I want to make a whole episode about this, but, you know, during this process, I got to the point where I knew intuitively that if I wanted to choose to die, I could. I got to this point where it was an intentional effort to keep breathing. And every breath I took, I had to take it on purpose. And I knew if I wanted to let go and give up, I could. And it's one of the most insane experiences I've ever had. And it wasn't scary, but it was just this full body knowing that, like, I can let go. I can pass on to the ether if I want to right now. And again, I'll make a whole episode about this at some point because it's potent and I think very worth talking about. But when you go through an experience like that, that close with death, actual death, it changes you. It transforms you. It changes the way that you relate with the world. And that's going to be showing through everything that I do and everything that I talk about from this point on. And I hope that you'll be here to go through that journey with me. And I'm stoked to be back. And I'm so grateful for your patience with me as I navigate this. You know, I don't know what my upload schedule is going to be like. I know I want to show up. I have so much to talk about. The notes on my phone, holy crap. I have so much that I want to talk about. Not just, you know, personal experiences, but like, you know, concepts, the juicy stuff. Stuff like we used to talk about. There's so much that I want to share. But I don't know yet exactly what the logistics and the structure of that is going to look like. We are actually in the middle of moving to a new state. We just bought a house, which is very exciting. And we are moving somewhere new, closer to better medical care that can keep me alive in the event of a catastrophe. And we'll be moving at the end of this month. So there's a lot of chaos right now. And that's a whole other wild story, how we manifested buying this house. I'll be making an episode about that as well, because I learned some serious manifestation lessons in this process. And that's a whole other ball game. But needless to say, you know, things are going to be up in the air. But I've realized through all of this that life's never going to stop being up in the air. And so I need to figure out how to show up even when things are up in the air. And, you know, obviously take time when the sky starts falling to, you know, do what I need to do to survive. But there's never going to be a perfect moment, a perfect way to come back into it, a perfect way to show up. And so for myself, I'm giving myself the space to just show up when I can, how I can, and really just focus on being here, connecting with you, and sharing the things that we both care deeply about, because that's ultimately the purpose. It's not about, you know, the perfect structure or the perfect amount of episodes a week. It's quality, you know, not quantity, not structure, but the quality of the connection. And so that's what I hope to offer you from this point forward. If you want to keep diving down this wondrous rabbit hole of the human experience with me, and I hope you do. If you want to connect with me further, I would invite you to shoot me an email. I'll put my email in the show notes. I'm off social media right now. I honestly just can't handle it after everything that I went through, and I don't see myself going back anytime soon. So where I would normally say, drop me a line on Instagram, I'm not going to say that because I'm not on Instagram, but you can drop me a line to my email. My website is alive, so you can drop me a line on there as well. And I have some other exciting things coming, but I would love to connect with you because, of course, that's why we're here. So please send me an email if you want to connect further, if you want to, you know, talk about anything that came through, if you've had an experience like what I've gone through and you need any support or you just have anything to share. My email inbox is open to you, and I will be here again with some more juicy, wondrous, consciousness-expanding goodness very, very soon. It could be this week. It could be next week. I don't know. But I'll be back soon. I'm coming back. And I'm coming back a whole new woman. So thank you so much for being on this journey with me. I love you to the end of the universe and back. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for being with me on this journey. I'll talk to you soon.